No, I am not letting you out of this house.
You can't stop me.
Only yes, I. You walk out of this house, don't even think about coming back.
Okay, you walk out of this house, don't ever think about coming back in. Struggles with your parents or struggles with your kids. You know how when they've turned teenagers, this is from Buffy. Buffy's around 16, 17, or she's a teenager, and she wants to leave. Her mother's a decent mother, and yet listen to the power struggle that they get into. Mom puts down the gamut and says, you know what? The gauntlet, and says, makes a challenge. You can't stop me. And her daughter says, oh, yes, I can. I will leave this house. The daughter says she can't be stopped. So the point here is that you can't force a mind. When you try to, even as a good parent, you try to reach out to your kids and beat some sense into them. You can't beat sense into a kid. You need to reason with them. You need to reach them. You need to set limits, and you need to have natural consequences. It's not that you let them run roughshod over you and you just lie down and be a doormat in life. It's that you need to set rational consequences for them and standards by which they act. And when you try to threaten them, it backfires. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And right now, I'm turning to the phones. Richard, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you very much.
Tell me your question.
Well, my question is, what can I do in a particular situation? The situation I'm speaking about is driving, be it every day going to work or taking a trip.
Okay, and what's the problem?
Well, I like to drive my car, and I like to drive my car with the purpose of getting to my destination as quickly as possible.
Okay, are you a fast driver, a speed demon?
Not necessarily a speed demon, but I don't violate anyone's rights in the process, but if something can be done in 15 minutes as opposed to 35, then I'm going to do that in 15 minutes.
Okay, tell me the situation. When you're driving to work, is it a rural community? You know, I live out in the sticks. But when I go to work, I take the freeways. What's the situation?
Currently I'm living in a rural area, but I've lived in urban areas.
Okay. So you're in a rural area, and what is the speed limit there?
Most speed limits are 45, sometimes 35.
35. And what do you want to go?
Whatever the conditions of the road and the weather and the traffic will
allow. Okay, but give me numbers, Richard.
Oh, okay. I would do 60 on some of these roads, which are posted at 35.
Okay. And when they're posted, are there homes in the area, kids on bikes?
No, they're limited access roads. There's nothing around to speak of.
Okay, so your question is what?
My question is, other than driving the speed at which I choose to drive and accepting the responsibility for, or the possibility, I guess, of paying a speeding ticket, which I've done in the past, what else can I do?
You could challenge it legally. I'm sure you could go to your town council and just say that this seems unreasonable in this area, or gather together with other people. I know we used to have a speed trap on Route 6 in Rhode Island. That was just atrocious. It was a joke. They would have a limited access area on it, no homes, and it was a huge hill that led right to the freeway, the on-ramp to the freeway. The police would always sit there, and they would catch people. They would catch them even if they went over 5 miles over the speed limit. You know, usually you feel like you have that flexibility. So you're saying, by what standards should I use? Should I use the legal standards, or should I use my own standards, which I judge to be appropriate? I'm assuming you're not drinking and driving.
Oh, not at all, no. That would be against, that would be immoral. That would be against my overall goal of being alive.
Okay, so what is the conflict that you're having internally?
The conflict that I have internally, then, is I guess that I'm living in a world in which, or not a world, but currently, it seems that when someone is caught for going over the speed limit, most people that I talk to generally default to the fact that that person is guilty of a crime.
Okay.
Where no rights have been violated.
How many tickets have you gotten?
Let's see. I've gotten 5 tickets in my life.
Okay. And how old are you?
30.
30. So you were driving at the age of around 16. Are they 30 recent tickets?
No, actually, I didn't start driving until I was 20. I grew up in an urban area.
Okay. So for 10 years, you've been...
They've been spaced out.
They've been spaced out, so it isn't just a slew of them.
Oh, no.
Okay. You could see that when you're in a free country, you can make this an issue in your life. Like, of all the things on your platter right now, you want to ask yourself the question, why does this bother me? Why was this enough to trigger a phone call to Ellen?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's an important question to ask, because you could have relationship problems. There could be other things. If your mind focuses on less significant things, say like speeding, rather than something that's right up front and personal, a relationship that's falling apart, a career that's falling apart, then you don't want to use a question like, you don't want to let this be a distractor in your life. If this is something where you do have a personal interest in this, for example, I remember when I was on Route 6 and I would see everybody pulled over, and I actually, that's the only ticket I ever got in my life, was on Route 6. I went to the traffic court and I saw what a clown, the judge was an absolute clown. I mean, in the worst sense. And the whole thing was just, it made a mockery of speed limits. It made a mockery of the law. And since then, they've stopped it. So there were people that had to have rallied to put an end to that. I was not one of them. I did not make that my battleground in life. But you could do that. I'll bet you would get a lot of support for certain areas where it legitimately should, there should be a higher speed limit in those limited access areas.
Okay.
And
is that conceding the fact that there should be speed limits in the first place?
Oh, I think there should be. So you need to have standards. I mean, if there weren't, I mean, that's a whole other question. And if that's your battleground in life, again, the question is why. I got in the car with a relative, and my kids were always taught to put on their seatbelts. In fact, there was never a battle with them. They did it automatically, and it saved my son's life. His car flipped, and he was wearing a seatbelt.
Okay.
I got in the car with a relative who I waited, because in the car, when I drive a car, everyone puts on their seatbelt, especially with my history of having my son now in my life, because he had his seatbelt on when his car, the window shattered, it flipped over, completely total, shattered, crushed, and he lived because of his seatbelt. And this person has it as their thing in life that they are never going to wear a seatbelt. I couldn't believe it. This is a rational adult. And so my question, if this person were in therapy, is I would want to explore the origins of that, because that isn't random.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a person to make that their battleground, that isn't random. And the same with yourself. If you're upset about that, figure out what deeper issues are involved, because it can't be just the speed limits. You wouldn't call me for just that issue itself. It's got to be linked to to core issues within you, to personal experiences, and much more central issues, and I would go for those, Richard, rather than the speed limit. It's true, I do go over the speed limit, I'll admit it. I don't go way over the speed limit, but when I judge that it makes sense to do so, you know, on long passages, long stretches of roads where no one's around, no cars, or even if there are cars, I feel like I'm a safe driver, but I will speed. Sometimes I go too slowly, and it drives my kids and my husband's husband crazy. So it depends on my mood, my purpose, but I try to drive within limits anyway, even if it isn't completely the speed limit. So thank you for your call, and I'd be interested to hear back from you if you would discover any deeper issues. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Suppose you've caught your wife in so many lies and she's broken so many promises that you can't believe anything she says. Or you discover your husband is cheating on you, spending money on things you had agreed to decide on jointly, and only pretending to look for a job. What does dishonesty do to romantic love? It kills it. What do flaws like this in your partner do to your sense of feeling visible, valued, and cherished? Can you trust or feel emotionally close to your dishonest partner? Could you desire intimacy with a person with a bad moral character? You might be thinking, but I have a friend whose husband is a cheat and she loves him anyway. Is this love or dependency? Perhaps fear keeps her in the marriage. I'm afraid to be alone or on my own. Or self-contempt. He's all I deserve. Whatever it is not a happy, intimate, romantic relationship.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.